It is the Personnel Committee meeting, first one in 2020. Happy New Year, everyone. It is 4:30, Tuesday, January 14th, and we are in the City Hall Conference Room. I will go ahead and call to order the meeting and acknowledge that the press and the public have been duly notified of the meeting in accordance with the Freedom of Information Act. And the first order of business will be the election of chair and vice chair. And I will open up the floor for nominations for chair.
I'd like to make a nomination to Mr. John Moy for chair.
Second.
All right. Are there any other nominations? All those in favor for Councilmember Moy to serve as chair of the Personnel Committee signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those in opposition? It's unanimous. And with that, I will turn it over to you, Chair Moy.
Okay. Are there any motions? The next order of business is the vice chair of the committee. Any motions?
I'd like to nominate Mr. Rusty Streetman for vice chair.
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Unanimous. All right, we have a chair and a vice chair.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'll make a comment that I think we've got any one of us could serve as chair, and we'll see how things shake out this year. I was a reluctant chair last year. Mm-hmm. it was an interesting process, but I'm excited for both of you joining us on this committee. We've got, I think, a lot coming down the pipe, and we're going to start off, I think, with a pretty big vacancy to fill. And I think we've done some great work. Wynette joined just a few years ago, I think, now having a more fully staffed general government filling some big vacancies, we're going to have some freedom, not only for the big things that we're working on, but I think there's some things that we sort of pushed off that we talked about before Ron came on board. But with Desiree and Wynette, there's some big things that we sort of brought up as, hey, these are things that are important for the city to work on that we sort of pushed aside as we juggle urgent matters. So I'm excited for things to come. That's all I have to say about that. I'm excited for this committee.
Welcome. Happy to be here.
Yeah. Our first agenda item, or I guess it's our third agenda item, is the approval of previous meetings minutes. Since neither of you were there, I'll make a motion to approve those minutes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Nope. All right. I'll open the floor for citizen comments. Not everybody at once.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. There are no for the record, there are no citizens. So we'll move on to under old business. We have no old business. So we're going straight into new business. Item A, consideration of applications to fill vacancy in the Planning Commission, and I'll hand it over to the City Administrator to provide the background and status.
All righty. So as you all know, Councilmember Pounds was sworn in earlier this month, which created a vacancy in the Planning Commission board. Those terms are for 2 years. We advertised the opening in the paper and through social media and the city's website, and we had a couple of new applications for your consideration. And when you put together a table with a list of the names of the applications that you are seeing in here that are included in your packet, and so we have a total of 12 applications for your consideration. 4 of them were submitted late last year as a result of us advertising that we're going to have a vacancy.
Mm-hmm.
About 5 of them were applications that the city received late in 2018. As you all recall, every year we advertise and to the community the opportunity for folks to submit applications to serve on the city's boards and commissions. But for a long time, I guess as long as anybody can remember, city council would reappoint members if they were interested in continuing to serve. City council would honor that and would reappoint those members to serve additional terms. Last year, the personnel committee had, you know, a couple months, a discussion that lasted for several months about wanting to change that, because I think during the last process, the interview process, some interested applicants expressed some, you know, just, I guess, were disencouraged.
Frustration
with the feeling like there was not, if council continued to reappoint folks, that they would not have an opportunity to serve. Mm-hmm. They would not be, unless a vacancy would occur. So that, I guess, triggered this conversation within the personnel committee about wanting to revamp that process. And the decision was made that starting this year, there would be some sort of interview or discussion process by which even those members that are interested in reappointing would be reconsidered, as well as other people from the community. So with that in mind, we contacted those folks that submitted applications back in 2018 and asked them if they were still interested in being considered for this vacancy, and the ones that are included in this in your packet indicate that they would. Same thing for the last three on that list, Marty Brown, Pamela Stockner, and Joseph Preston. They applied back in 2017. Same thing happened. Those members were reappointed at that time, and they didn't have the opportunity to be considered for an appointment.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of these folks, I believe, have already been interviewed by the personnel committee. Obviously not this personnel committee, but previous personnel committees. So it would be up for this committee, this group, to decide who you all would want to interview, who you would want to consider, and we're looking for guidance from you all in that regard so that we can go ahead and schedule those conversations between us and these applicants. It would follow the same process that we went through for the vacancies for the Water and Sewer Commission. Obviously, I think for that we had about four people apply and only two vacancies available, but the committee talked to all four, and we scheduled them for the same meeting. I think we had two meetings because mm-hmm. of scheduling issues.
Is that the process is to it for whoever you choose to interview for the whole committee, all of us?
Typically, the whole committee would talk to the applicants. Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chair,
mm-hmm.
how many, you said five had applied before.
Mm-hmm.
Who are those five, and how many people have been kind of sitting there
wanting
to service?
So the last three on the list, Marty Brown, Pamela Stockner, and Joseph Preston, they applied, the first time they applied was in 2017. The list that we have uses data from our online forms. So without looking at the historical minutes, we wouldn't know if they had applied previously,
okay.
You know, before 2017. If you want that information, we can get that, but not sure if that would be, if it would be relevant for the discussion, or if you do think so, then we can go ahead and
Well, I mean, Mr. Chairman brought up a point that, you know, historically we've let the same names go over and over and over again,
mm-hmm.
and there are a lot of great people, as we see in these applications here, who are duly qualified, if not overly qualified.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to every so often have a change up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's something that going forward we're looking at. And it's also nice to kind of know how many people have been wanting to service and,
mm-hmm.
and how long they've been kind of waiting to service.
Mm-hmm.
They're not brave enough to go to council. I think maybe we're just, I'm not going to say it.
Well, we could certainly go back and try to come up, you know.
Not that makes that much difference. I just like to know,
yeah.
you know.
It'd be interesting to
yeah.
see how long they've been waiting
yeah.
for that opportunity.
But a lot of great people in here.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Mm-hmm.
So if I may, and I'd love to hear your thoughts, actually, because I tend to dominate a conversation, and especially
yeah.
with me having served on this committee for longer. I don't want that to happen. So
yeah.
what are your initial reactions with the limited time you've had to consider this situation?
The applicants and
the
residents?
I would say less specifically about individuals and more about our process. We have one open spot.
Yeah.
We have 12 names in the hat.
Well, I'm in favor of, you know, the panel here, you know, doing the interviews, choosing who we're going to interview. Or you know, if it's all of them,
mm-hmm.
we interview all of them. Or if we pick and choose, that's fine also. But I think we all should be involved. Yeah. That's my feeling.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think in terms of the process, the question is really around the process of, you touched on what kind of what I was getting at, or what I was wondering is, we can either interview all 12 and schedule those 12, or we can figure out some sort of way to cull the list down to some sort of finalists and then interview finalists. Or there's that, those aren't the only two options, but those are kind of the two obvious tracks that I think we can take. And I don't know if you have other recommendations or thoughts.
I do have some, and if I may, when the personnel committee, when the personnel committee started this conversation, you may recall that we instructed Douglas, and Douglas mostly handles planning commission and BOZA, and we did the same with ATACs. Mm-hmm. We went back to the committee and said, you know, if council is looking at appointments, what should they be looking for? What are your needs? What do you think would be helpful for the discussion that you got, you know, you are having, some of the issues and the projects that are in the pipeline? So the Planning Commission submitted some recommendations to the city back then, and I went back and looked for it. And some of the suggested composition of members for them was to have somebody who was a commercial real estate agent, an architect, a commercial general contractor, financial, somebody who has financial management expertise, marina experience, real estate investment experience, and they also set a goal to include at least one or two residents from the Waldoons community. Philip Pounds met the Waldoons sort of, you know, self-imposed requirement. There are no requirements to sever the planning commission, but you know, the role that he played for the group was, you know, representing Waldoons and also having some experience with financial management. He was in banking and brought a lot to the table when it came to financial best practices. The current composition of the planning commission, I'll let you know some of the requirements or some of the composition that they meet. So they have somebody who has real estate experience. They have an architect, also a commercial contractor, somebody who has a lot, also has financial management experience, and also a doctor that's very involved in the community who was instrumental in setting up the farmers market with on the island. They don't currently have anybody who has marina development experience or residential builder. They have a commercial. They currently have a commercial contractor or a civil contractor. So those are some of the I guess themes that, or what do you call it, backgrounds that they currently don't have that they wish they they would have.
Can we? Just to clarify for my own sake, the gaps that they've identified are marina experience, someone who, a Wild Dunes resident.
Correct.
And the residential?
Residential contractor? Builder or contractor.
Okay. There's commercial contractor or developer. Okay.
And you also said no civil contractor.
Correct. Right? I guess you could kind of. Use of like a commercial. They also suggested, you know, I think would be helpful during your the interview process to hone into, you know, people look for people who are team players, who are full-time residents, not only property owners or renters, but somebody who's a full-time Isle of Palms resident, who is knowledgeable about island issues and topics, and is available during the day. Sometimes they do schedule special meetings during the day and their briefings and all that, and are committed to attending. I don't believe that the Planning Commission has had an issue with a member that's not consistently misses meetings or whatnot, but they really emphasized on having somebody that knows what the commitment is from the very from the get-go and is committed and available to meet that requirement.
Okay.
You probably mentioned this, but was Philip Pounds the only Wild Dunes resident?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay.
hopefully that helps you narrow it down, or maybe makes it more complicated.
Yeah, and I'll say this. I think with the Water and Sewer Commission, we felt a degree of urgency to fill those gaps. And I'm not saying that there's no urgency here, but what I'm leading into is the Planning Commission has 7 members. Mm-hmm. Currently, there's 6.
Correct.
So they're, whereas the Water and Sewer Commission had 5 members, and they were down to 3. So they couldn't even have a quorum unless everybody was there until we appointed those 2. So we had a degree of urgency in placing the Water and Sewer Commission, I think, just from my perspective, and I'll look to you as well, to you guys. I would say that we can make sure we do this right, mm-hmm. and make sure we're I think checking in with the Planning Commission again before we make any recommendations to council, that we can make sure that we're getting the best person. And I guess I'm thinking to myself, we have 12 candidates. These specific gaps narrow it down pretty quickly, as I just, like, how many Wild Dunes folks are, there's only a couple of folks in Wild Dunes. If that was the only criteria that we have, I'm not saying that's a knockout question, but as an example, if we were to say this is the only criteria that's our first criteria, that would knock out a lot of people. So I don't know if we want to even do that for that reason. But
yeah, it's, to me, almost like a reverse discrimination when it comes to a position, because planning to me is huge for all Palms. And I think we should really kind of look at everybody and give them a fair chance.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If I may, just to clarify, the planning there is no state law requirement that the Planning Commission is made up, it's composed of, you know, a certain type of background. The Accommodations Tax Advisory Board does. That's the only commission, order commission, that would require that we meet that sort of background. But the Planning Commission does not. This is mainly just the recommendation from the current members who have been serving for a long time, and they feel like that would be beneficial for them.
Absolutely.
Sometimes people don't understand that. Just wanted it on the record.
Yeah, and I think we want to do our best to listen to that, to the Planning Commission. I think they're a great resource for us, but ultimately it's not their decision, it's ours. We've been elected for this purpose. In terms of a process to get from 12 to 1, this is not a typical hiring process. We're not bringing someone in for a job and, you know, they're not getting compensated. this is a bit different, but there's obviously some similarities in terms of what a selection process looks like. I'll walk through what we did, what we've done for making some recommendations specifically with the Water and Sewer Commission. Now, we only had 4 candidates for 2 spots, so it was fairly easy for us to say we're going to interview everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the right move to make. But in that scenario, the city staff prepared a structured interview with relevant questions based on input from our committee as well as from the existing Water and Sewer Commission. And we used those questions and had a very objective interview each of the folks, score the questions based on what we were looking for in an answer, based on what we thought would be the best person. And, you know, it makes it really easy and kind of quantitative to say, well, this is, you know, we're not arguing, well, I like this person and you like that person. It's, well, we have this very objective scoring method, and obviously there's some subjectivity that goes into it, but at the end of the day, this person has this number and this person has that number, the higher number wins. Mm-hmm. And it makes it a lot easier for us to get around the sort of difficult discussions of, well, you know, Rusty wants so-and-so, Jimmy wants so-and-so, and John wants so-and-so. And when there's 12 people, that's highly likely to happen. So that's the process. I frankly feel like scheduling 12 interviews is going to be fairly untenable. And I would like for us to figure out a process to narrow that down to 3 candidates. And I don't have a specific process for that, but I think that would be a worthwhile goal for the sake of each of the candidates, as well as city staff, as well as ourselves. So that's my initial take. Is I don't think that I do think we need to conduct interviews for anybody that we're appointing. I personally have interviewed a few people from this list from the last time that they applied, but I think I've been on interviews with three of the people on this list, and so 3 out of 12 is not very good. And the two of you haven't had that same experience that I had, and they were unstructured interviews anyway. So that's.
Yeah, I have a suggestion.
Beautiful.
Maybe each of you could narrow it down to maybe half of it, 6, and then rank those 6 applicants. And we can kind of use that to see if there's any, similarities, I guess, from the applicants, that just by reviewing the application and reviewing their resumes, we can start there. That would be, mm-hmm. I don't know, if it's just a suggestion. It could kind of help you all narrow it down to a manageable number.
I like that idea myself, to review all the resumes and just, submit
mm-hmm.
the half dozen names.
Mm-hmm. Stack rank top 6.
Stack rank it, yeah, mm-hmm. and then we can assign a number for each
mm-hmm.
for each rank and tally all of those up. Very similar to how we did the Leola.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you think we need to do top 6, or would it be? I'm just thinking of the math right now. If we each did top 3,
or top 3,
I don't know. I'm just trying to think about which one is more likely to get. Jimmy's got some wheels turning.
I still kind of lean towards looking at people who've been wanting to serve
mm-hmm.
for a number of years, and they keep on resubmitting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if they're any good or not. I mean, I'm just trying to
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
put out here criticism that, they apply and they apply and apply and they never hear back.
Yeah.
And maybe you've interviewed them and we don't need to hear back from them. I mean, I don't have that information.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to look at the list of people that have applied prior to 2017?
Yeah, just to kind of see if they really, that to me shows a commitment that they want to give back to the community.
So there's a list that's been building all this time also.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking.
Yes, so every year we start fresh basically,
uh-huh.
and we request, and there are people that have submitted multiple times. We went back to 2017, but... I guess one could argue that maybe if they submitted in 2014, but haven't submitted again, do you want to see those? Or
So this list are all folks who, regardless of when they originally applied, they raised their hand this time around and said, I want to be considered.
I mean,
but there's other people that Jimmy's talking about who have applied during the regular portion. That's what you're talking about.
Right, that's exactly.
Before.
And I also see a couple of people in here who are great. One who's served on this committee before,
mm-hmm.
and one who's been a council member before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I like to give everybody a fair chance, just to make sure that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. It's these aren't easy decisions. The water and sewer was so tricky because we had 4 highly qualified candidates, and it was like...
Well, I mean, you set the bar so high this past year with, city administrator and a police chief. I mean, how can you...
We've got a city full of talented people. It's tough.
Yeah.
When they all want to help, and you're like, great.
It's great.
Can we create some more committees for you to serve on? Okay, so... I mean, I don't... Maybe the top 6 is fine. Why don't we can start there, and then but you're going to provide us with some more.
I think what we can do is go back and get a list of people that have applied back from 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Contact them to see whether or not they're interested before I put a resume in front of y'all. Because
mm-hmm.
I'd rather us do the call and say
yes.
Would
mm-hmm.
you like
mm-hmm.
to be considered before I
mm-hmm.
submit it to?
Yeah.
We could do that.
Okay.
It's gonna make your life harder.
Yeah. I know Jimmy's over here trying to make the list longer.
Right?
No, I'm also trying to think. John brought up some points. Are you available to meet during the daytimes? That might call out some of the names for us too.
Yeah, I think
not
that
to mention
would be
the
a
high
question.
Pay that we give everybody.
That would be a question during the
interview. During the interview. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, so if you can, if y'all can help take that step of getting the updated list to us before the next meeting, and then before the next meeting, maybe if timing permits, we could do our lists and we can do all this via email. We don't have to meet in to do all this because we're just coordinating with Desiree. Yeah,
before we do that, do you think it's important to ask that question?
I don't think it's important because I'm just, I think that that's, and basically you're asking, should we have some knockout questions? And is that a knockout question? And I think that my feeling as a full-time employee who serves on city council, I find a way to make it work. And the way you phrase the question is probably going to dictate whether or not someone removes himself or not. And basically, if you say, hey, are you going to have time to, you know, for sporadic meetings? Are you going to be able to do this? Most people are going to say yes, even if maybe they're somewhat less flexible in their schedules. But if you ask somebody, you need to be able to, at the drop of a hat, you know, come in during the middle of the day, people might say no. I'm just thinking the way that we would phrase the question, I don't think you'd have a lot of people say no. Like, I didn't know that's what you were asking me to do.
Well, I think you're an HR expert, and I think Rusty also has HR background. Mine was so small, so I'm really going to defer on your expertise. And, you know, if having applied multiple times isn't that important, throw it out. I'm just trying to...
Well, I think in that regard, we're talking about... What you're saying is there's people who have shown a true passion and interest for serving, and there just hasn't been a vacancy.
Right.
And does that count for something versus someone who just caught wind of this more recently? That doesn't make them more qualified, to serve on planning commission. It makes them more interested and maybe more likely to. You might say there's signals that they're likely to be more engaged. But from my perspective, and Wynette, I would invite you to weigh in as well as you think about job qualifications. I mean, this is, at the end of the day, we haven't conducted a job analysis for the Planning Commission, and I don't think anyone's suggesting that we do. But that's you know, the realm in which I work is, it's fairly rigorous when you think about qualifying somebody for role, and you conduct a job analysis and you say, okay, this is what qualifies for someone. This is what makes someone qualified to serve in that role in that capacity. We're not going to that level of rigor here. And what you're saying is to someone's interest. Typically, for me, and this is maybe going a little bit outside of the realm of like super best practices, but I think it's fairly common in the world of hiring, specifically with hiring managers versus HR professionals. You look for someone who's got that, who's really interested in your company and interested in the job. And that's not necessarily a qualification per se, but it's usually something that's necessary for you to hire somebody. In this case, where we're talking about a planning commission, we're talking about volunteers. The fact that they've applied and they've taken the time to fill out this application to me shows a level of engagement and desire to serve the city that, whether they've done it multiple times or they've done it once, to me they've already met the threshold of interest. But I get your point, and I think it's valid that, hey, there's some people who have been knocking at the door for years, and if we had two candidates who were exactly equal and that was the only differentiator, I wouldn't have any qualms. And I would wholeheartedly recommend, well, let's take the person who's been knocking down the door for 3 years.
I've been recently watching our neighbors, our sister island, mm-hmm. and Mount Pleasant, and looking at their planning, or lack of planning in some cases, but I'm sometimes planning many years into the future. And right now that island is totally divided because of something they set up many years ago, thinking they were doing the right thing to protect the land out in front. And truly that island is divided over that one issue. Mm-hmm. Mount Pleasant, on the other hand, was come one, come all, and look what happened over there. So I think, you know, All Palms is a very unique situation that we are trying to preserve what we have, improve what we have, and protect it for years going forward. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Planning Commission is really kind of all about. And I think we've done some good things this past year. As for lot sizes and stuff, that all came from planning. Mm-hmm. Resilience came from planning.
they got to be resilient.
Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. So again, again, this is a pretty important commission.
No doubt. That's a great, to me, reinforcement of, we can take our time and get the person in there who makes the most sense. And I think the other thing I wanted to point out with what you're saying of somebody knocking down the door, the reason the personnel committee really wrestled and grappled with that issue of appointments and reappointments was that we don't want to alienate folks who have a genuine interest in serving our community. And that's what we felt like we were doing with with the policy. And again, if we have folks who are equally qualified to serve and someone's been knocking on the door for 3 years and someone just said, hey, I just applied a month ago, and they're equally qualified, that's the key,
right?
The key point there. Then yeah, we've got to go with the person who's been knocking on the door for 3 years. My guess is there will be variance in qualifications, and it won't come down to that.
Okay, thank you.
But I don't know.
We'll get the list, and it might be just as a comment, as an aside, but it may be that some of these folks that have been knocking on the door for quite a while just got discouraged because they didn't feel like they were, there was going to be an opportunity to be considered. So we'll get that list. We'll contact them, try to see if they're still interested, and bring that before you all.
Mm-hmm.
We'll probably just email you the applications. And
good.
The application has changed, so I may just encourage them to fill out a new application so that we have you have the
apples
same information
apples.
And you can compare apples to apples.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, I want to make one more comment. Jimmy, you inspire.
You're the first person. Let me give you a dollar.
the point that you made about the Wild Dunes, and that's a gap that the Planning Commission said, hey, these are things that would be great for us to have. There's other things that, in thinking of the future and in thinking of our neighbors and in thinking about our island and what we think is important, there might be gaps that they haven't identified because of either they're thinking of specific projects or just because of their different perspective. And so it's important for us to think, use our own brains, obviously, because the decision does fall on us, to say, are there other criteria that we're looking for? And that stuff, if there's obvious things that come to mind right now, I think this would be a good time to flesh them out to one another. And as well as we're working on an interview, that's where we'll give feedback to Desiree and Ron and Wynette so that they can build that interview guide for us. But I think that was a really well-made point that this is not the only thing that we're evaluating.
Right.
It's, okay, we have this, this is a lot of the decisions the Planning Commission makes typically don't affect us in the near term. They affect the future generations. And so that's a really well-made point. So, what else? So what else are we looking for?
On the commission itself? Or?
Yeah, and I don't mean to put anybody on the spot. And we don't have, it's not like today is the do or die. But I'm just thinking we've got, there was kind of the approach that we had from the Planning Commission was sort of like an experience background of, architect, contractor, financial management. Marina, and then there was also the just pure geography of it would be nice for someone from Wild Dunes. There's other characteristics that might be important.
I totally agree.
I'm trying to think if there's an obvious one that sticks out to me right now, without having to say a certain je ne sais quoi that we're looking for. That's the goal. It's not to say that.
Yeah. Not that
minutes. Well, it was brought up.
I know what it is, but yeah.
It was brought up that we're looking obviously for team players.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Full time resident, available during the day, interested in attending. I mean, that's what we're not going to see that on a resume per se.
Mm-hmm.
That's where. Yeah. As we narrow this down to our top six or whatever. Mm-hmm. You're going to get a better feel for that, in my opinion, when you get into
an
actual
interview.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And
But I think y'all, you know, architect, contractor, financial, doctor, we probably need a psychiatrist more than a doctor, but marina, I mean, all those things are a good cross spectrum of what they're doing. And, you know, again, I hate to keep on using what's happened over the last couple of years, but we've done some really good things because of the Planning Commission. And I'm proud of what they brought forward. And it didn't come easy because they've done it once and we didn't listen to them. They brought it back a second time and it was relevant. So again, I think it's a good cross. Is there anything else are we lacking?
Yeah, I might be jumping the gun and getting into the interview stage, and maybe the conversation that I'm trying to evoke is better suited for our next meeting. But I guess the real question was, is there anything that we think we can distill from a resume that we would want to evaluate at this juncture? And there doesn't have to be anything, because ultimately we're going to each have our top six. That's going to help us get to a top three, presumably, and from there we'll bake out a really tight interview.
I'm good.
I am too.
Okay, so you all will communicate with us what your top six.
You're going to get us that information.
I'll give you the list first, correct? Of those that have.
And then we'll communicate with our chair.
No, with Desiree.
With Desiree. Yes. Excuse me.
Okay.
And it'll be stack ranked.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. Good. Not doing 12 interviews.
I'm good for that too.
Mission accomplished. I love interviews.
You know, we did that one on Skype, and I thought that went well. I think he was out west or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't mean that they have to be right here in front of us. We can be here and...
Mm-hmm. All right. I want to move on to review of General Government's 10-year capital plan and discussion of new initiatives and projects for consideration.
All right, so I provided a paper copy of the 10-year capital plan for the General Government and Building Department. Mm-hmm. It is the same document that's included in the approved, unanimously approved, if I may say, FY20 budget. It has not gone through the initial stages of our planning process for FY21. That's being worked on as we speak. Mm-hmm. The budgeting process begins with meetings with department heads, with Debbie, myself, and this time around, Ron will be also included, and will participate. And we go through, we start with a capital plan, which is or any expenditures that are over $5,000 that are capitalized, for lack of a better word. And we'll go through and we'll analyze, you know, our needs. Do we need to shift something? Do we need to add something? Can we push it a few years? So we'll go through that process. And what you're seeing in front of it of you has not gone through that. So it'll be different when you see it the next time. I wanted to include this. I've been including this in every agenda for this month to allow an opportunity for the committee to brainstorm, talk about some of the special projects, not necessarily capital with general government per se, but any special projects or initiatives that you would like for the committee to pursue this year, so that it gives us an idea of where you're at, some of the things that we would obviously prepare for the committee for consideration. So I'll just mention a few things that we've discussed from my end. Under special projects for the general government, as you can see, under FY21, we'd be looking at a replacement of framing and metal doors at City Hall. That is something that will be reassessed by our Assistant Public Works Director for Facilities and Maintenance to determine need and whether or not those cost estimates are accurate. The court software upgrade, that was initially scheduled for FY20, and we pushed that one a year. We cannot afford to push it one more year, so that's going to be in the pipeline for FY21. And also, you can see our new initiative to budget 1% of the building insured value so that we can address mm-hmm. deferred maintenance and mm-hmm. pursue a very consistent and robust maintenance schedule for all of our city facilities. So that would be for City Hall. For building department, the only, in terms of capital plan, the only thing there is the same thing, 1% of this of City Hall, so we split that between general government and building department. It's basically the same pot of money. And then we have in FY24 scheduled the replacement of the pickup truck that's currently used by our building inspector. Some of the things that we are in the process of evaluating is reevaluating the phone system replacement. It's currently scheduled to be replaced in
25.
FY25. We might have to push that forward a bit. We also want to talk about, we would be adding under special projects, the replacement of tablets for City Council. The tablets that you all have are going to be about 5 years old, 6 years old, and usually that's when they start creating, just giving problems and would have to be replaced. So we'd be looking at that for the out years, just to include there may be another option that the city could entertain for a device for City Council to use.
Could I ask a question on that? One of my little pushes is to go paperless. And do you think it's been a savings?
Absolutely.
Of course, I think so, but I want to make sure that City Hall staff, because it makes it easily to get the information out there to everybody. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny, my phone died on me, and I couldn't get online. And I called up my special, I pay for it every month, you know, service to work offline. I call them up, and I couldn't get anywhere. I said, damn it, I'll just go over to Mount Pleasant and deal with them. And I took my old bill over there, and it's funny that a phone was paid off in December. And I think these things are designed as soon as they're paid off. Because what they did is they took a little chip and replaced the chip. And it worked suddenly all over again. Mm-hmm. So I think they do these things to us just to make us buy
planned obsolescence.
I will say it has. I mean, before I remember when I got on board, the packets were done basically by hand, and there were printed copies, and it would take one or two staff members more than 5 hours to put all those packets together. So as you all have seen, some of the packets that we send you all have over 100, 200 pages sometimes. So that has saved on, you know, just paper, time. Right now it takes us maybe less than 10 minutes to put a packet together. Mm-hmm. So that alone has been very helpful. The other thing I think has been helpful for council to have a device where you all could do work. Just understanding the implications of the Freedom of Information Act, where, you know, if you're working on city-related business on a personal device, then that could make your personal device be discoverable. Mm-hmm. So we felt like it was important to provide a device for council to do research and do city-related business in the event that, you know, we have a request for information. It was just so easy to be connected to the server and have a device that, you know, you would feel comfortable just handing over to us and us handling it, and not having to get, you know, the attorney involved, whether or not, you know, this is up for discovery or not, and protecting your personal information. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's also been very helpful.
Yeah.
So I would advocate that the city continues to consider that. So we would, I don't think that we are at that point yet, but again, this is a 10-year capital plan, so we would be including it under special projects. And then the other thing that we have been talking about is the reconfiguration and maybe renovation of council chambers to integrate a more modern AV system and enhance security for municipal court. I've talked with the clerk of court, and she says that we do municipal court downstairs in the same room. And there are security concerns about where the judge's chamber is, which is that corner office, and having to walk through all of the defendants that are attending court to get behind the dais. Mm-hmm. So I think we've been doing it for a long time that way, but at some point, I think for the future, the city needs to plan when it's time to renovate, when it's time to maybe look at a different configuration to just enhance safety and security down there. We also have that metal detector inside the council chambers, and sometimes that can be somewhat disruptive during the meeting if the alarm goes off and, you know, people have to empty their pockets. It's the only place at this point that we can have that. Mm-hmm. So we deal with it. But in the future, if there's some appetite to consider that, then we would advocate that it be included in the 10-year capital plan.
So you're talking technology and construction.
Correct. And again, we can put in FY29 and kind of plan for it and see what, depending on the expense, I mm-hmm. know that the city's going to be faced with a lot of big projects mm-hmm. in the future, and that is certainly not a priority. But because we list here mm-hmm. our needs, looking into the future, mm-hmm. you may see that in the next version.
Sure. I have a question related to the public safety building, just because somebody or somebody's brought up the notion that perhaps in the renovation we might be able to expand mm-hmm. and include some of the services that are in this building over there. Mm-hmm. Does that sound familiar?
That was brought up, I think, during a workshop, mm-hmm. and obviously those discussions predated me. So I went to Douglas, who's been here forever, it feels, and he said that when the city was designing and developing the plans for the existing building, which mm-hmm. was over 10 years ago, that was considered. Mm-hmm. There's just not enough space based on the requirements that the police station would have mm-hmm. and a fire station would have. But that, I obviously I wasn't privy to those discussions, but he said, oh yeah, council discussed that at length,
okay.
and the engineers and the architects were involved in that discussion, but there wasn't enough space.
Okay.
To accommodate the parking requirements for, a bigger facility mm-hmm. or just a bigger facility as it is.
Sure. Thank you.
You're welcome.
One more little thing. I know it's planned, but it could be in the future. I would like to see an audio-visual projector, in our chambers it's nice to see people coming to our council meetings nowadays. And, when we put stuff up there, we can barely see it,
mm-hmm.
right?
And it's turned sideways mm-hmm. to them, and they cannot see it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's something that we should kind of prioritize.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be huge. It can be something like that, one in each corner, but $25,000 seems like a lot of money, but maybe that's what the cost of you buy a TV set nowadays for under $500. But anyway, I do think that's something that our residents would like to be able to see what we're discussing numbers-wise and whatever, if it's displayed up there.
Mm-hmm.
So is that something we would recommend pushing up the timeline, considering that even sooner than...
Well, I don't think it's a want, not a need.
Yeah.
I think we've got some huge things ahead of us right now. But I do think that we're going to be spending money on certain things that might be something we might be able to incorporate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. not high on my list of needs. It's just a want.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we could look into maybe refine those numbers, get some informal quotes and proposals from just general contractors that we work in the past.
Again, this is my opinion. Please, this is everybody here at this table to talk about.
Well, let me ask this in terms of what would be helpful for this budget year. Is that because I'm sort of focused on FY21. I like having, we need the global view.
Mm-hmm.
That's critical. But in terms of preparing for the budget discussions, which is the purpose of this,
mm-hmm.
Is there anything that you think we should consider moving from any of these projects that might be worth accelerating to FY21?
Well, like I said earlier,
yeah.
I'm in the process of reevaluating the phone system.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, that is for FY25, $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
We've been having some phone issues recently,
mm-hmm.
and they last for a few minutes. Sometimes there are days when we're, struggling with it. So we're looking into what our options are.
Okay.
And that may be something that I would, in the budget that I present to you all, I would push forward
mm-hmm.
to maybe FY21 or FY22, depending on, the current status, and is it something that we can fix and you know, have it operational for a year, another year. So that's one of the items that it's top on my list for.
Do you have? Okay, so that would be of the things we talked about. That would be the one that's most likely to be accelerated.
That's a need.
Yes.
Yeah, that's an obvious need.
Yes.
Why? I'm just curious, and I'm not this. I hope this doesn't come across as anything other than just trying to understand. FY25 is fairly far out.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea when these phone systems were bought,
mm-hmm.
not during my tenure,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know what a lifespan of a phone system is supposed to be. I'm just wondering why is it failing so far from what we thought.
I'm not sure exactly when the city bought it either, and I'd have to look at that. I believe we were told back then that it would last maybe 10, 15 years. So it could be that the city has been just pushing it. I wouldn't get married to any of the numbers that are in the off years because sometimes they're a placeholder,
mm-hmm.
and that's part of the process that we follow every year to reevaluate that. So it may be just a chance thing that it's on FY25, or it may be that when it was first included in the capital plan,
mm-hmm.
we thought it would have a lifespan of 10, 15 years. That
mm-hmm.
would seem unlikely because it's just so,
mm-hmm.
so far ahead, but that may be the case. So it raises eyebrows just because I know the issues that we've been having with the phones.
Mm-hmm. We can't function without phones.
Yeah.
So you're thinking it might have been placed that far out because when it was installed, it said it's a 10 to 15 year system.
We won't need
to
change it until
this,
FY25.
Yeah.
Let's just put a placeholder there, knowing that we always give ourselves that flexibility to change it
mm-hmm.
as
right.
we go
okay.
along
cool.
the year.
Thank you.
Is it a lease system or a bought system?
No, we bought them.
Mm-hmm. And do we have a maintenance contract that
yes.
goes with them? And
mm-hmm.
that might be something for us to consider.
Yeah.
Is to lease them.
Mm-hmm. And I reached out to Andy Benke from Sullivan's Island. They're in the process of reevaluating theirs too.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of sharing information
mm-hmm.
about what pricing you know they get
yeah.
and what we have. What you know, so it's already in process.
Nice.
So
okay.
hopefully we can
sure.
get fully operational from this. Not saying they're not operational.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to get 10 cans of string on that? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we need to go back to the old days.
That's reliable. You know how to fix it. Piece of tape. Do you need additional feedback from us on this?
No, not unless any of you have anything that you have been thinking about, had some questions on. I guess this is a fluid process as we start, you know, during the budget year. So
mm-hmm.
you can go and kind of study and think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's anything that you would like for us to look into, any information that you would need to make a better, you know, informed decision, as always, reach out to me and we'll put all the information requested together and let you all send it to you.
So when you talk telephone systems, are we talking the whole citywide?
No, City Hall. But at City Hall, no, this would be, I think this is citywide.
Because that's cheap. $30,000 for...
Yeah, it would be citywide. Yes, it would be citywide. Dun, dun, dun.
That's, which is even more important.
Yeah, wait, are
mm-hmm.
police having phone issues?
The
non-emergency?
No, I think the issues that we're having right now are related to bandwidth because our phones
They're
are connected
void.
To the internet.
Mm-hmm.
We've increased the bandwidth recently as a result of our malware intrusion issues. It has gotten better, but we're still having some connection issues. Sometimes it disconnects. So again, part of our process is this more of a bandwidth problem and an internet problem, or is this that the phone systems are not connect, you know, talking to the internet we're trying to figure what the problem actually is. If we need to replace the phone, then at that point, I would make the determination to move it forward. If the phone, the actual infrastructure is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I didn't think the phone would be a...
Yeah. Anything else?
Double that.
All right, well, that concludes new business. For miscellaneous business, we have, before we get into our next meeting date, do we have other miscellaneous business.
Yeah, well, I've got something to bring up about the date, if this is the appropriate time to do that, for the date of the next meeting.
Yeah, well, I'll go ahead and say that that doesn't work for me, as you know. So I'm actually out of time that entire next week, the first week of February. So this is your first committee meeting. We are attempting to do all committee meetings the first week of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And that way that there's plenty of time for the city staff to prepare anything that needs to come out of committee and go to council or ways and means.
Right.
So there's sort of the first week of the month will be committee meetings, and the second week will basically be doing all the work.
Mm-hmm.
The third week will be ways and means, and the fourth week city council.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the sort of planned operating procedure for committee meetings. In this particular case, I won't be able to make any meetings that first week of February. What were you going to say?
What I was going to bring up is, you know, as a result of our meeting the other night with the Municipal Association, they were telling us about the Hometown Legislative
mm-hmm.
Action Day
mm-hmm.
in Columbia. It's actually 2 days, really,
February
4th and 5th.
Mm-hmm.
And Ron had sent all the new people on council. I guess it was just Philip, Kevin, and myself got the email.
Well, I sent two separately, one to you guys and one to everybody else.
Oh, did you? Here. Okay.
Yeah. We have two council members that are signed up already.
Uh-huh.
And maybe the mayor.
I went through the whole thing, and
but I saw that it conflected with this date.
I would recommend it.
Yeah,
it
so
and I need to go too, so
okay.
I'll just be there for the 4th.
Uh huh.
But I think you'd be interested in staying for the 5th
mm-hmm.
for
right.
those sessions.
Right.
So, yes,
okay.
The 4th is out.
We could meet the second week of February.
Mm-hmm.
And
also, as it relates to time, discussion was informally taking place before this meeting started. As Desiree mentioned, the intent last 24 to 18 months was, hey, let's do these meetings at a time that works best for residents to attend.
Mm-hmm.
Of all of the committees, I would say this is the one that has the least impact directly to our residents. It certainly has direct impact to our employees and staff, but I think that, and I'm open to the reactions of everyone in attendance, but this is the one where we probably have the most flexibility to do a time that could be whenever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my take. So I don't think we need to necessarily do a 5 o'clock or a 7:30 a.m. or anything like that. Not that we don't want residents to attend. There's just not a lot of topics that are really relevant directly impacting our residents. What I do think is consistency is good in trying to set something, even though this first month is February is going to be an exception. I think trying to have a consistency of date and time works well. So I'll let people react to those observations and considerations.
I will say that for staff, obviously, anything before 5 o'clock is welcomed.
Mm-hmm.
People might realize this, but we're here since some of us before 8 o'clock. We'll do whatever is whatever the committee wants to do, but I have to be in every single committee meeting, and most of them have moved to 5 o'clock, and Ron as well. So we have already 7 or 8 meetings that are already scheduled for the afternoon. So if there is flexibility with this one, then it would be preferable to have it during the day. Mornings are always great, but again, whatever will accommodate, and we'll be happy about it, whatever the committee works best for the committee. But we don't typically, I guess to council member or Chair Moyne's point, we rarely have citizen participation on these
mm-hmm.
Meetings because we, it's really about internal,
mm-hmm.
Sort of internal work.
In contrast, I would say like the recreation and the real property
mm-hmm.
committee, I think both of those committee meetings have somewhat regular attendance from from citizens, because there's a lot of things that directly impact the community.
Right. I'm in favor of morning meetings.
Are you more flexible?
And I'm open to the day.
Yeah. Okay. I got a new job. That's why I'll be out of town in February. I've got to spend a week with my new company. So
congratulations.
Thank
you. I'll have more flexibility in my schedule.
The 10th and 11th, I will be out of town.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only time I'm really away.
I think we can, because this is an abnormal time, I think we can just sort of pick whatever daytime works the best for February.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe let's start with our, right now we're Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we have to do Tuesdays, and I don't know if Tuesday mornings work, and if mornings work for you, Mayor.
I'm here all the time, except for...
We don't have any other committee meetings scheduled on Tuesdays. It was
just
personnel in the afternoon, so we could move it in the morning, if that's the will.
It's good by me.
It's good by me.
So we'll plan on the first Tuesday of the month at 8:30, 9:00.
They all...
9 o'clock?
9 a.m.?
9 o'clock. Yeah.
It's the first Tuesdays, but for February, I guess we still have to set the
And then we have
February.
To set the February,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the 11th and 12th don't work for the mayor.
No, the 10th and 11th. I'll be
the 10th and 11th. The 12th works.
Beach Advocates.
Okay, I'll be there too, so.
Well, we're doing Myrtle Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, I'm playing.
How about the 12th?
We can do
the 12th.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Should we stick to 9 a.m.?
That's good with me.
We have court in the afternoon, and when we have court, then our staff and the office dwindles, so sometimes it's hard to have coverage, so the morning would work best.
It's Joseph Washington's birthday and Leo Hamber's.
Huh. All right. So
my little notes in my phone.
So the next meeting will be the 12 at
9? At 8.
Okay. We'll update the...
But otherwise, the 1st.
Mm-hmm.
First Tuesday.
First Tuesday at 9. Any other miscellaneous business?
Motion. Adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Good meeting.
First one.
Okay, now give us a